today, the two of you are a bit lazy and broody. Okay.
Hashem, Hashem. Thank you for the Kehillah, for giving us the privilege to speak to the Kehillah, Baruch Hashem. We're going to prepare ourselves for Shavuos Bezrat Hashem. Let's have a look at the world of Torah in perspective, often coming off the Omer, end of the Omer, the Sphira, and be within the time. The Zohar says in Parshas Bereishis, Rachmana, Chazah b'Oraisa u'b'Alma, that the Ribbono Shel Olam looked in the Torah and he created the world. So the Torah is the blueprint for the creation of the world. We will see, Bezrat Hashem, how all wisdom in the world comes from the Torah. And there is one thing, Ben Torah has a little bit of an inferiority complex. Would it get rid of this completely? Where the world says, oh, you're not, you have to be modern, you have to have technology, you have to have a university degree. Okay, as someone who, Baal Tshuva, Baruch Hashem, I should be a Baal Tshuva all my life, and has several degrees in university, and then went to yeshiva, and learned in yeshiva, and rabbinical kollel, I could tell you that 1 year in yeshiva is worth a master's degree, as far as one's ability to think and to analyze. Because at university you learn to memorize, you don't learn to think and to analyze. And you take a professor of nuclear physics and give him the first mission in Baba Kama, he wouldn't know who's against who. So we'll see, all wisdom comes from the Torah. But let's begin with a bomb kasha from the Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says that Rabbi Akiva learned 23 years by Nachum Ish Gamzu. You say, what's the big deal? What's a kasha? Kasha, wait a second. Who is Rabbi Akiva that learned 23 years by Nachum Ish Gamzu? Rabbi Akiva is the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Akiva established the Shisha Sidurim. There's no such thing as Shisha Sidurim. Rabbi Akiva codified that. Rabbi Akiva made the spiritual bookshelf and the Masechtas, how to arrange them. Seder Zerai, Rabbi Akiva. Seder Nashi, Rabbi Akiva. Seder Moed, Rabbi Akiva. Nezikim, Kodshi, it's all Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's student, Rabbi Meir Balanes, he simplified the language and shortened it. I mean, the mission is very staccato, like in the old days, sending a telegram. And Rabbi Yudonasi made the final codification of the Mishnah, which is the father of the Gemara. The Gemara's elaboration on the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva, his two Rebbes were Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and Rabbi Lazer ben Horkanus. All of Halacha stems from Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and Rabbi Lazer ben Horkanus. They argue back and forth, and they're Talmidim, going out there Talmidim. We see the famous Gemara in Baba Metzia when they're having a war in a base of Midrash. This is called the Charavot. This is the swords of the Talmidei Chachomim. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya says halacha. Rabbi Lazer says that's not halacha. If the halacha is like me, then the river should go backwards. The river started going backwards. Rabbi Yeshua said, we don't pay attention to the river. Halacha is this the way halacha. No, Rabbi Lazer said, if halacha is like me, then the tree should fall over. The tree fell over. Then again, they're arguing back and forth. And he finally says, he sees that Rabbi Yeshua is not giving in. He says, if halacha is like me, then the walls of the Beit Midrash should fall. The walls of the Beit Midrash should fall. And then Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya yelled at the walls. He said, walls, stay where you are. Lo b'shamayim. You don't interfere here. And he said to Rabbi Lazer, people, what do you do with that Gemara? These are the two giants of the world. According to Kabbalah, we learn that halacha in Olam Asiya is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Most of the time, the vast times, halacha is like Yeshua ben Hananya. But in Yetzira, in the upper world, halacha is right like Rabbi Lazer ben Horkanus. And they say Shamayim was even agreeing to Rabbi Lazer ben Horkanus. And that's when Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya yelled, Lo b'shamayim, it's not there, it's down here, halacha is down here. What the Manchester-based deed decides, this is what Ribbono Shel Olam says, Omein. Even if the Chachamim and the Beis Din Shemala decide differently, what the Manchester Beis Din decides down here, this is halacha. This is halacha for us. This is where we have a Beis Din everywhere. Otherwise, who needs Rabbeim? Who needs Batei Din? We look in the Torah. We see the halacha. We look in the Shulchan. No. No. Lo b'shamayim hi. That's the Chachamim. And that's what we say every morning when we daven. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi. We believe in Hashem Moshe Avdoi. Who's Moshe Avdoi? Moshe Avdo, this is Moshe, the Gemara says, that calls the leader of the generation, the leader of the community, that's Moshe. There's Moshe in every generation. So it's just important when we don't have Emunat Chachamim, we don't have Emunat Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Gemara says, Yiftach b'doiro k'shmo avdo. What was Yiftach? Yiftach was a bodybuilder, Yiftach was an athlete, Yiftach was a soldier. And Yiftach k'shmo avdo. Anybody understand the Heilikite of a Shmuel and Novi? No, Yiftach, Yiftach, he was the leader. We needed Yiftach in the time of the judges. It was a rough time then. And Shmuel, of course, Shmuel, he David the Melech, Moshach David the Melech. Anointed David the Melech. That's Shmuel b'doyro, Yiftach b'doyro. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Achrani say. The halacha is not up there. But the kasha still, kasha. I made kasha beduchta, the kasha beduchta. What? Did Rabbi Akiva leave his two gigantic rebbes and spent 23 years by Nachum Ish Gamzu? In all of Shas, there's one halacha by Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu was a great rebbe. Let's call it the Baba Sali of the generation, the miracle rebbe. He was the Chanina ben Dosa of his generation. Nachum Ish Gamzu, we learn Emunah, Gamzula Tova. Despite whatever calamity befell him, this is also for the good. So why did Rabbi Akiva spend all this time Nachum Ish Gamzu, 23 years of his life on Nachum Ish Gamzu? And not by Yishuv Natan. And we see this even further in Baba Basra, when the Gemara tells us about how Reb Lezer ben Horkanus is on his deathbed. And the Chachamim didn't know how to go inside because he was in Nidui. He was in, not excommunication, the proper word in English for Nidui, he was distance. He couldn't daven in a minyan, he was in Nidui. But they wanted before his death to cancel, to negate the Nidui, the distancing. And they figured they'd send Rabbi Akiva in first. Rabbi Akiva, he went in first. So Reb Lezer ben Horkanus looks at Rabbi Akiva, and he says, Akiva, it is doubtful that you're going to have a natural death. Adrabba, indeed, you're going to have a very excruciating death. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This would hit. Rabbi Akiva comes in to console you for your death, to remove the nidui, remove the excommunication, the distancing, and it looks like the Gemara is cursing him. It's not a curse. Cannot be. That's not pshat. People think it's cursed. They don't thought basic pshat. Look who this is. This is Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, Reb Lezer ben Horkanus. Anaka Olam, giant of the world. He's telling Rabbi Akiva, I understand why you were with Nachum Ish Gamzu. Because you are ordained to have this terrible death, and the only way you can withstand it is with Emunah. And you spent 23 years to learn Emunah. And we see that Reb Lezer ben Horkanus was right. If we open up Gemara and Brachas, Samach Bez, page 62b, we see what we read every year at Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, Asarahu Gei Malchus. It tells us specifically about Rabbi Akiva, the circumstances of the death. It's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos that year. And it's already after Shkia. And it's already after three stars. It's Beina Arbayin, then the Beina Arbayin. Right between Friday and it's Erev Yom Kippur. Kol Nidre time. And Kol Nidre time, they put Rabbi Akiva on the gallows, but they don't hang Rabbi Akiva. They bring their hangman with this tremendous rake and these sharp metal prongs. And with the Gemara wouldn't say it. We couldn't describe describe such an excruciating terror. It sounds like something that Hamas would do. And they start raking his flesh while he's alive. Not only that, But the soldiers, take Rabbi Akiva's students, they were caught that he was teaching them in public. And this was against the Roman law. This was one of the decrees. You can't teach Torah. You can't even learn Torah. But they caught them. And a soldier on every student forcing their faces to look at the Rebbe, while he's being tortured. I know it. My beloved Rebbe, the Melitzer Rebbe of Ashdod, he's the grandson of the Shatzer Zaidi in London, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. But when the Rebbe's got a cold, I'm worried, no, he feels the Rebbe so sein gesinnt, no, what's good? Upset when the Rebbe has difficulty breathing, has a cold, has a sniffle. It's already worrying. Can imagine watching your Rebbe, your Rav Mufak, where the Gemara says, your mother and father bring you to this world. But your Rebbe, he brings you to the next world. And it's not only, this is loving Hashem, when you love your Rav, you love your Rebbe, you love your teacher. This is the love of Torah. And forcing these people to look at Rabbi Akiva and watch for him, they said, Rabbi! I must say, how can you do? They yelled out. They were beside themselves. They were delirious. Rabbi, how can you stand this? Rabbi Akiva shmechled Rabbi Akiva with a smile. And his whole body is bleeding. He's 120 years old. And Rabbi Akiva says, all my life, I've been saying, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, all my life I've been saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to serve you with all my soul and all my heart and all my might. Now that I have the privilege, I'm not going to be happy. This is Rabbi Akiva's emuna. Where did you get this? From Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu was so sick, and talk about the circumstances of Nachum Ish Gamzu's death. When he didn't help a hungry, poor person fast enough. He didn't get off his donkey fast enough. So he said, the hands that didn't help, they should wither, and the legs that didn't help, but he had this excruciating disease. And he smiled. Thank you, Gamzula Tova. Gamzula Tova. Because Nachum Ish Gamzu lived so much with Hashem. His Midas Adin, he went straight into Gan Eden. He did everything that would, a cleanup in the next world. They know that the Neshama tells us, we open up the Gesher of Chaim. Gesher of Chaim, three volumes. Yechon Nechal Tolachitsky says what happens to the neshama when it leaves, what happens to the body, what happens to the neshama when it leaves this world. And it has to go through a little very hot mikveh in Nara Dinor, in Dinor River. It gets cleaned up and goes into the next world. Nachum Ish Gamzu, he didn't have to go through a little dip in Gehenom before he went to the next world because he completely took on the Midas Adin, took on the punishment in this world. Rabbi Akiva saw. And we see how Rabbi Akiva succeeded in learning from his Rebbe. But the Gemara tells us a story about the candle and the chicken and the donkey. And Rabbi Akiva is on some hill. He's on the way between Tzipori and Tiberia. And he's on some hill in the Galilee. And he took his candle enabled him to learn at night. Comes the wind, blows out the candle. Gamzu l'tova. Gamzu l'tova. We said, okay, Rabbi Akiva, take a match and relight the candle. We're going to see. The Mona will ask that. Why didn't Rabbi Akiva relight the candle? But then comes along a fox and eats his chicken. His chicken was his alarm clock. He didn't have an alarm clock on his watch or his smartphone. The chicken is an alarm clock. They get up early and daven at Netz because the chicken is a cock-a-doodle-doo but before Olus, right? When the chicken is a cock-a-doodle-doo, then we know it's before Olus. And Rabbi Akiva figures the time, knows exactly when to daven in the morning. Okay. No more alarm clock. And comes a cougar, an Israeli mountain lion, and attacks the donkey, eats the donkey. So Rabbi Akiva lost his Ford Escort. He's just got no more vehicle. So he's without his alarm clock. He can't learn. So that's the thing. Every time, Gamzu l'tova, just like his teacher. And that's where we learn, Kol mai d'rachman avid l'tai v'avid. He says, everything Hashem does is for the very best. Rabbi Akiva, he didn't know it was for the very best. He believed it was for the very best. He was a Muna. He went into, when do we go into a Muna mode? When intellect kicks out, Emuna kicks in. Emuna doesn't start until intellect finishes. Long as intellect gets in the way. And this is the problem with so many people. They're intellectual. And it's difficult then for them to believe, oh yeah, they say, they know, intellectually they believe there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, if you believe there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, has it penetrated your heart? That's why you're not smiling. You see, you walk in matches, you say to someone, good Shabbos. Hey, my friend, it's Shabbos. You know what happens at Shabbos? The neshama yaseira, close to Hashem, when the level, an average Jew has a level of a great tzaddik on Shabbos, he gets the neshama yaseira. Why people not smile? Because they don't believe. You know what a frown is? A frown is an expression, I don't like the way Hashem runs the world. Period. Chas v'sholom, chas v'sholom. And a smile, a shmechel, is an expression, I love the way Hashem runs the world. People say, yeah, okay, I like Hashem, but I don't like this one. I don't like my business competitor. I don't like the person who's got shalom bayis, and he's got something. I don't like my father-in-law, not my father. Oh, wait a second. What's our first principle of Amunah teach us? People, they could be mefalpel, toisfis, and give you a toisa choshen on Baba Basra and the choshen mishpat. Wait a second, but you're not smiling. Well, what's the first principle, Muda? Give me the 13th principle. You don't know what a yid believes in? I could be mefalpel and toisfis, but you don't know what a yid believes in? The first principle, Muda, I need my mean, but Muda Shlema, Shaboya Yifbach Shmo, Boyo Man Hig, Lechola Boim, the Hunavado, also Oisev Yasel, Lechola Masim. Wow. I believe with full and complete Muda that Hashem Yitbarach, blessed be his name, he is creator and director. Hashem is not on vacation in Mallorca on some beach. He created the world, now he's in semi-retirement. No. That's Hashem personally massaging our heart. If I could take a stethoscope and put it to the microphone, you know what you'd hear? Yudke Vovke, Yudke Vovke, Yudke Vovke. That's Hashem personally massaging our heart. There's no one else. There's no battery, nothing else. Hashem personally is deciding our systolic and diastolic blood pressure. The pressure of the blood leaving the heart, the pressure of the blood coming into the heart, that's Hashem personally. Wow, who is the Hashem that is personally arranging every chromosome on a chromosome map? Nobody pays attention. Nobody asks themselves. And this is what Yeshaya Navi yells at in Shabbos Chazon. What's the Shabbat up? Shabbos Chazon Lishao. What does he complain about? Okay, my children, you're about to get another year of Tisha B'Av. You're about to end another year of 19. Why? So maybe think, wait, let's do Cheshbon Nefesh. The Gemara says that you can do anything for Pikuach HaNefesh except three serious mitzvahs that never go. And we know that the first temple was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah. Second temple, there was Sinas Chinam, that was Shfichus Damim. And then there's Gilui Arayas. No, Navi Yeshua doesn't talk about Gilui Arayas. He doesn't talk about Avodah Zarah. He doesn't talk about Shfichus Damim. He says one thing. He says you don't have the brains of an ox and a donkey that knows where the food comes from. Why? Ami loy bonan. My nation didn't open their eyes. What do you mean didn't open their eyes? Open their eyes means putting their brains, Mr. Highbrow, put it aside and open up your eyes, your Amunah eyes, that you can see Hashem out of your eyes of Amunah. That's Hashem. That's Hashem. And this is what they... Zekeli ve'anveyu. This was the revelation in Shiras Hayam when they saw Hashem's hands split in the Red Sea. Zekeli ve'anveyu. For that one fantastic moment, all of Klal Yisrael, La'a shifcha Hayam mashet Chesu ben Buzi. The sky opened up in front of Yechesu ben Buzi. But the people saw it. They saw it. It left them. Why do we say Shiras Hayam every day? Zekeli ve'anveyu. Hashem is reminding us, hey, my children, open up your eyes. No, forget it. Say it, mitzvat anashim menumada, mitzvat, last letter is tough, anashim, last letter is mem, menumada, hey, meta, gestorben. Someone that serves at Davins, mitzvat anashim menumada, bal minan, is gestorben. Someone that Davins, mitzvat anashim menumada, I was in Miami, I just couldn't see it. I thought, yeah. In the middle of Shmona Esrei, this guy is davening. He's got his tefillin on his head. He's got his Bluetooth in his ear. Oh, he's a man. He's got a smartphone on the next to his tefillin. And he's got his Bluetooth, and you can see in the middle of Shmona Esrei, he picks up his telephone because something in his ear is going, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. He's got an email. And so he's got to call his broker because there's this question of a $10,000 investment. You know what happens when this guy goes up to the Olam HaMemes? He sees little Yankel. Yankel was a cobbler in Manchester. Made shoes, fixed shoes. But Yankel was an Erlich cobbler. And Yankel was every afternoon in the Beis HaMidrash for Mincha, a 2-hour chavrusa in Ma'ariv. Okay, it's Erlich HaYid. All right. So Yankel comes up, and Yankel happens to be, he left the world 1 minute before this guy from Miami, which in front of him, and he goes and they say, oh, Yankel, they said, fill in. And they ask the Gabbai in the Beis Din Shomalo, what does Yankel get for his tefillin? There's nothing. It's oilemus and oilemus and oilemus. And they describe the penthouse in Gan Eden that Yankel gets. Well, here comes this businessman from Miami. What does he get for his tefillin? Oh, you get $10,000. So what do you mean $10,000? I saw Yankel from Manchester. He got unlimited riches. There wasn't enough Swiss bank to pay for one moment of his tefillin. And you're giving me $10,000? $10,000 is my thing, God, I did. They said, you, sir, place the price of your mitzvah. That you had a hesech das, your attention was distracted by a $10,000 business deal from tefillin. Same thing, Yesh Mei Rabbah. What Yesh Mei Rabbah? That's it. A person, one amen. The child says one amen, and it says, oh, I don't. The people, this is Melumada, and we think in this world, and Parnassa, and we make Parnassa, and we don't do a thing. We don't do a thing. Hu levado osa oise viasel kol masim. So what are we working for? Why do we say, because everyone has his tikkun olam. This was an optometrist, because his way of making Kiddush Hashem is to be the nicest optometrist in the town. And when even the goyim come to this, and that there's no optometrist in town like this Jewish optometrist, Kiddush Hashem. That's his job, to bring Kiddush Hashem, to bring the light of Hashem, all the goyim. And someone else's job, whether if he's in real estate, he's selling real estate, you see some real estate, they think that it depends on them, and they try to do a hard sale, and they make sacrifices with the truth, and they don't tell the real thing about the property they're selling, but someone else has the property, no. You have to understand, it's discounted, there's a leaky roof, you're going to have to invite and get invested in this roof. And people are confident. Hey, that Jewish realtor, he's so honest. He said, Kiddush Hashem. We're here to do Kiddush Hashem. It's not here to make a living, to run after the money. Parnassah comes from Hashem. But people do Hashem. How many times, stop and think, that you've done all the hishtadlis in the world, didn't make any money. And that's something, yeah, they say, God, you're also here that something succeeded, and all of you get this big, big chunk of money you never dreamed of. It's all from Hashem. This is what Rabbi Akiva spent 23 years in learning, that it's all from Hashem. But now comes along modern society with the guy, the people, wait, they shake our confidence of ourselves, our confidence as Bnei Torah. They said, no, no, no. You need to go to university, and you need to learn our mathematics, and you need to learn our sciences, and you need to learn this, and you need to learn that. Otherwise, you're primitive. You need to learn foreign languages to your children, send your children. And the UK, what I read here before, it was crazy, where the government intervenes in the school system, in the UK, the Torah school system, the government dictates that in order to get government subs, you have to learn this, you have to learn that. And the Moises, they don't have any choice. What? Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the government go jump. Take a leg. Don't need it. We say, well, that's all nice. Okay. If you have a computer, Google Rabbi Dr. Michelle Rabinowitz. Rabinowitz. Rabinovich, we say in Hebrew, Rabinowitz. Who was Rabbi Dr. Michel Rabinowitz? He came from a Polish rabbinical family. Rabinowitz, that's the Prima Godim, the Matumim, the family, famous rabbinical family. And he was a shtickle intellectual. And he wanted to go past his Gemara learning. And he wanted to learn to be a doctor. He was intrigued by medicine. So he went to Paris and he became a doctor. He learned, and I think it was the Sorbonne, he learned medicine. And he became a doctor, but he never practiced medicine. With all that, his love of Torah came back and his neshama overcame his modern thoughts. And he did something monumental. He decided that he would begin with Brochas Beis Amud Aleph, and he would translate the Shas into French. And he translated the Shas into French. But while he was involved, he became in contact with the intellectual elite of Paris, one of whom was Louis Pasteur. Name ring a bell? Louis Pasteur? Pasteurization. Louis Pasteur is the father of vaccination. Okay. They were discussing, and Rabbi Dr. Rabinowitz mentioned the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about a rabid dog. What happens to a rabid dog? What happens if a yid, chas v'sholem, gets bitten by a rabid dog? Rabies. Rabies is fatal. But right away, you grab the dog, you shech the dog, chatzel kavda kelev, you take the lobe of the liver, and you feed it to the sick person. Kasha, what do you mean lobe of liver? From a kelev? This is it's a treifen and a veilen, it's forbidden. Ah, but it's pikuach nefesh. And since it's not avoid zara, and it's not gilui ha'aretz, and it's not shvichas dovim, we can feed the sick person a chunk of treif, dog liver, to save his life. But it's not just dog liver, it's dog liver that was infected with rabies. The rabies is concentrated liver where the blood is filtered. Oh, what a concentration of the rabies virus there. And a person lived. Well, Louis Pasteur heard this. This was before vaccine and before pasteurization. And he was intrigued by that. That his friend, Michel Rabinowitz, told him about the Gemara and translated this Gemara for him. Louis Pasteur went back to his lab, and there was a problem in France then. The chickens were dying of cholera. So he took chicken liver full of cholera, and he fed it to healthy chickens, and they didn't get cholera. Then he took anthrax from infected bovine animal, infected beef from the beef family, and gave it to cows, and they didn't get anthrax. And that was his vaccine. His discovery of vaccine came from the Gemara in Yevamos. That gave him the thought. Then later, with pasteurization, that was later, pasteurization that was famous for. But people don't, where they were for pasteurization. The raising temperature, boiling water, that the bacteria can't withstand boiling temperatures. But Louis Pasteur became the father of vaccine. I think that's all. When Columbus discovered America in 1492, this really terrible year, Ferdinand and Isabella came, the Jews, the Inquisition. It's a tantamount to Holocaust. And this is what sent our Sephardi brothers across the world. I think they all came from Spain. I know it. You know, many Ashkenazi families that have the Sephardi roots also. This dispersion inquisition, that the ones that wanted to stay Jewish left Spain. And even today, many of the Gerit Tzedek, they're Anusim. They're profound Anusim. Now they're coming back because they have this neshama, that the neshama thrives on Judaism. It won't rest until it comes back to Yiddishkeit. Okay. So Columbus thought the world was flat. And Columbus thought that he was going to sail to the Indian Isles. He didn't realize the world was flat. He thought that he was going to get there. Chazal. The Goyim were monkeys on the trees when Chazal knew the world was round. Where do we know that? Let's open up the Gemara and Tractate Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Tractate Avodah Zarah that describes how Caesar is coming to Eretz Yisrael. Caesar is coming to Eretz Yisrael, and the Sadduki, the Shomronim, They said, Loshon Hara about to say that the Chachomim, the Perushim, the Chachomim, they want to revolt against Rome. And they were on the way to Yerushalayim to kill the Yidden, kill Chachomim. Well, right then, you know, the Yeshua Kohen Gadol, he had a piece of Yeshua Kohen Gadol dressed up in his high priest white, the Levon, big day Levon of Yom Kippur. And he took a procession of Kohanim. And maybe, you know, when you go up to Yerushalayim, as you come past the Motzah, and you go by the summit Motzah, down where the river is and the willow trees are, and you're on the last ascent to Yerushalayim, you could see the skyline of Yerushalayim as you ascend to Yerushalayim. That's exactly where, up there on Lifta, which today is called the village of Lifton, before you get to Givat Sha'ul, there's the cliff there, and they went, they had a procession of Kohanim. Well, this is Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. Now Alexander is on the way to Yerushalayim. Shimon HaTzadik, yeah. Shimon HaTzadik. But Alexander the Great was going up. I said before Caesar, I was wrong. Alexander the Great. That in my head, while I'm talking, reviewing the Gemara. And the Gemara says I was corrected. Thank you, Hashem. The Greek generals, they're ready for battle. They're ready to they're going to kill Jews. Okay, wonderful. And Alexander the Great, he sees them. The sun is behind them, because you're coming to Yerushalayim from the west. The sun is rising from the east, and the sun is shining on the back of Shimon HaTzadik in his procession of Kohanim. And as Alexander sees them, he prostrates himself. He gets off his horse, falls, and makes himself fall off the horse, and he bows down before the Kohen Gadol. Well, the Greek generals could not stand seeing that. They could not stand seeing that. They said, what? Our Alexander the Great, he's conquered the world, and he's bowed down before these Jewish priests? And they say, Majesty, how can you do that? He says, that's not a Jewish priest. That's the angel I see every time before we're victorious in battle. Hashem showed him that Matim Tufa the Makkah. Hashem gives the cure before he gives the Machla. That all in his wars and his conquests, before he won, before he got the final victory, he saw an image of a Malach that looked like Yeshua Kohen Gadol dressed in the Yom Kippur white. Wow. So then he had to give audience, and together one of them was Yonah. Yerushalmi, Gemara mentions him. The story's in Yerushalmi. And Alexander, he says, can you, Chachamim, I understand from Joseph Asad, you understand to interpret dreams? I said, yes, interpret dreams. He said, I had a dream. What's your dream, Your Majesty? I had a dream that I was holding a ball in my hand. So Yonah, he says, oh, that's simple. Your Majesty, you're going to conquer the entire world. So he said, the world is round? Yeah, the entire world. This we're talking about in the Yerushalmi Gemara, 2000, let's see, we're in the Binyanom, we're 2025, 2,180 years ago, 2,200 years ago. 2,200 years ago, Chazal knew that the world was round. And they knew the solar system, they knew everything, Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything. They said, wait a second, bring me all of NASA, the National Space Administration of the United States, it sends all these rockets to the world. Okay, tell me, yesterday was Shabbos Mevorchim, NASA with all your scientists, and let's bring the ones from Heidelberg and by Oxford and Cambridge, Massachusetts and Technology, MIT, and put all these Chachamim in the world. Tell me when the Milad is tomorrow. Do you know today in Eretz Yisrael, the Arabs want to kill all the Jews except for one Chacham. Why do they have to leave one Chacham? The Arabs need one Chacham that knows Sod HaYibur, that knows the Yibur and how to make Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh. Why? People don't know. Before they Ramadan, ask an Arab, when's Ramadan? He says, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. What do you mean, maybe Tuesday? When you don't know when your Yom Yontif is? When's Ramadan? He says, no, we have to ask the head of the Jewish Beis Din. They have to know when the Milad is in order to determine when their Yom Tov starts, because they also have a monthly calendar. But the different Yom Tov Palm, the Ramadan, some of the Ramadan is in winter, sometimes it's in summer, sometimes it's spring. The Ramadan just passed us. It was about the time of Pesach, parallel to the time of Pesach. And next year it'll be in the summer. Next, why? Because they don't know how to do Ibur HaChodesh. They don't know how to do 30 days, 29 days, and then a leap year, and our seven leap year seven times within 19 years. What does the Torah tell us? This is your wisdom. This is your wisdom. They don't have this. So wait, you want to send me... if I go and I learn astrophysics in Cambridge, who's going to teach me Soda Ibor? No one. No one can teach you Soda Ibor. You can see, go one by one, one by one, one by one. Don't have to look far. We had a tzaddik in this country, in this generation. He came from the Holocaust, from Galicia. Rabbi Sholom Moshkovitz of Shatz. The Shatz is Zaydi. He's buried in Enfield in London. The Shatz is Zaydi. In 1953, it was an astronomy show in London. All the greatest scientists and this, that, the Shatz of Zaydi went to this astronomy show, and he saw the dioramas, and he saw this diorama of the world and the rotation of the sun, the rotation of the earth around the sun, and he saw the time of year, and the Shatz of Zaydi said to one person, I think it was the Germans, not the Americans, the Germans. And he says, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. So what do you mean mistaken? He says, you have a 2-second error in the time of a year. 2 seconds. What do you mean? And they check, and they double, and they recheck. And they say, this little Alta Yid from London, fiddling on the roof. You, Mr. Heidelberg, Professor Heidelberg, have made a mistake. That this... a year is 2 seconds less. They check. And they find that he's right. Wow. And they think, where did you go to university? Yes, I did. Oxford, Cambridge. We don't know you from Heidelberg. He says, I never opened a secular book in my life. It was all from the Rambam. It was all from the Chochmah of Torah. It's the same thing. Look, the Rambam's laws of nutrition. They don't treat people change, and if you go, loss of nutrition, you have this Atkins diet that tells you don't touch fat. No, don't touch fat. But then you have another diet that says you should eat like an Eskimo, eat nothing but blubber, and eat nothing but fat, and no animal protein, and yes, animal protein, and no carbs, and yes, carbs. What do you do? Open up the Rambam. Hilchas Deis, Perek Dalet, Perek Hay. How to eat your food. He said, don't be done. You can lose. Let you lose 10 pounds easily the first month. Why? People swallow their food. The Rambam says, no. Chew your food slowly. At least 20 times. At least 20 times. Why chew your food slowly? And why do people have indigestion? They eat fast. They're on the run. They don't have time. They eat fast. Chew it slowly because we have digestion begins with the saliva juices in the mouth. And by chewing 20 times, it makes a person drop up, said, don't drink water in the meal. How can I not drink water? I'm going to be thirsty. When you chew enough, you turn the solid into liquefy it. This enables the enzymes in the saliva to act on it. And it's easy to digest. I'm a chaya. And I see the Melissa Rebbe, my Rebbe, the way he eats. He doesn't eat a lot. He doesn't eat a lot. He eats very, very little. It's a tzaddik ocha l'selva nasho. You can really see. Like a zaydin. And then see, very slowly, very slowly. And 20 minutes, that's it. Because at 20 minutes, the brain kicks in satiation. So if a person gobbles his food, not satisfied, at the end of 20 minutes, all of a sudden, he's so bloated because he ate so much within the 20-minute period. And now, it has a food coma. You can't function. Follow the Rambam. It's not what you eat, it's how you eat. People don't know how to eat. People that are 40, 50, 60 never learn how to eat. Open up the Rambam. Why people tell me they chachamim and they don't, well, but they don't open the Rambam. And the Rambam says, don't eat until you're full. If your stomach churns like a washing machine, leave room so it can work. Learn the Rambam. Torah. All the wisdom is in Torah. Medicine in Torah. Physics is in Torah. Mathematics in Torah. People are, the kids learn the geometry. Open up 1.5 blot of Gemara, Sukkah, Chet, Omen Chet. The person learns geometry. It's all right there. Ki chochmatzcha keneged the goyim. This is your wisdom. And this we have to learn in Vayid Baliboy. But, so why do you mention Rebbe? Our Torah is not intellectual. Our Torah has to have emunah. And this is what Rabbi Akiva learned 23 years. Because if we don't believe in our Torah, we can't live our Torah. And we have questions about the essence of Torah. You can have questions when we're learning. But it comes right down, the Shulchan Aruch said, the Mishnah Berurah says, De maaseh asher yasun. This is what we need to do. And when it comes to final halacha, we put our brains aside. When our poisek, our Rebbe, tells us what to do, we put our brains aside. Vayamiru b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. We accept it with emunah. We mix emunah with our Torah, and that puts a big smile on our face. And once all the Yidden are smiling, and they love Hashem, and they love His Torah, you know what's going to happen? Hashem is going to rebuild Beis HaMikdash, and bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, and uplift the entire Kilo Manchester, and set it down in our rebuilt Yerushalayim, speed our days on name. But Kananya ben Akanya Mal, what's a Kodesh Boch, Luzak, and Zilchim, and Melabot, and Tor, 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 and